Welcome to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
CKDJ 107.9, Ottawa's new music. Welcome to the Press Box. I'm Tyler Sear, joined by Greg Avgaropoulos and Josh McGrath. Segang missing out on Aaron's Surface once again. Let's not talk about it. Let's get right into the Super Bowl. Last weekend, Greg, you can start us off. This is sort of your expertise.
Yay, Super Bowl. Super Bowl was a lot of fun. The Rams obviously played the Bengals. They were getting a lot of hype going into this game. To be honest, I wasn't really seeing it. I was kind of just like, I think everybody's kind of just blowing smoke up there. You know what? I didn't really get it because, you know, Joe Burrow, second-year quarterback, inexperienced coaching staff, inexperienced team in general. Their O-line is terrible, so they can't for people that don't watch football, O-line, guy who blocks for the quarterback, they're not good at that. So as we saw, they allowed 7 sacks in that game. That almost tied the playoff record for sacks in a game, which they did tie a few weeks ago. So, yeah, basically, O-line, not good. Rams ended up getting the win. Matthew Stafford, first Super Bowl. Aaron Donald, first Super Bowl. He might retire now, Aaron Donald, because he's kind of accomplished everything, even though he's only 30. But he's kind of just done everything in the league ever. He's the second-best defensive player of all time. So, congrats to him. Congrats to OBJ, Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp won Super Bowl MVP. He had 2 touchdowns, 93 yards, 7 catches, I think. He really backpacked them on that last drive of the game, but it was a fun game. Good halftime show as well.
Matthew Stafford threw 26 for 40 with 283 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions.
And 1 no-look pass.
And Cooper Kupp was 0 for 1.
Yeah, facts.
He is on passing Cooper Kupp because they threw a... The Philadelphia special there. The Philly special, eh?
Yeah, that was not a good...
It's a terrible throw from Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
Terrible. I think that play was actually meant for Odell because Odell can actually throw the ball. But obviously, he tore his ACL in the game. Prayers up for Odell. That was terrible. Same ACL he actually tore 2 years ago. So that was unfortunate. But yeah, Cooper Kupp missed
Odell,
the throw really badly.
Odell gets his Super Bowl.
He did.
Which is nice.
And he had the first touchdown of the Super Bowl.
On the Bengals side, Joe Burrow threw 22 for 33 with 263 yards and 1 touchdown, no interceptions. And Joe Mixon threw 1 for 1 on 6 yards and 1 touchdown. A cool little nifty play there.
Yeah, it was actually a really nice play. They had a bunch to the right, so 3 receivers and a bunch to the right side. Looked like it was going to be a toss play. They tossed it to Mixon. He looked like he had blocks. But then he just ended up throwing it to T. Higgins, who ran the nice little route in the end zone, nice little corner route. And yeah, that was to tie the game, and it was pretty interesting, you know, seeing Mixon actually throw a running back throw a touchdown in the Super Bowl. He's never done that in his career, so.
Jamar cool. Chase only had 1 carry and 5 receptions. What can you tell me about that, Greg? Was it surprising?
No, I didn't think he was going to have a big day because he had Ramsey on him. Everybody was betting on him to score a touchdown, which I get because he had a lot of touchdowns in the season, but I knew Ramsey was going to lock him up. He kind of did for the most part. He did get burnt one time.
Ramsey kind of had a rough game, man.
He did have a rough game, but even then, he only allowed I know Jamar had 5 catches for 89 yards, but he really only allowed 2 catches to Jamar, and then the rest were
Let's be honest. Ramsey had a tough game, but then again, Burrow was having a lot of trouble in the pocket.
Well, yeah, because the pressure from the Rams.
So it's like
good.
The time that Burrow needs to find Chase, that's all Ramsey needed to do, and that's what he was doing. So it worked out. Do you think is this scoreline surprising? Were you expecting more, Greg? Were you expecting less?
The Rams should have won this game by about 2 touchdowns. They really, their coaching, I mean, Sean McVay, one of the best coaches and play callers in the league, and he had an abysmal game. He was drawing up terrible plays. I'm not sure why. He kept trying to run the ball, even though they couldn't run the ball. I think Cam Akers had like 1 yard per carry on like 20 carries last game, around 15. He was terrible. They couldn't run the ball, and they kept
Akers had 13 carries for 21 yards. So
yeah,
that's not very good. Brutal.
That's very bad. So obviously, I said they couldn't run. I was just screaming at my TV. I didn't really care who won the game, but I was like, I just hate watching bad football. It just makes me mad. So I was like, McVay, you're supposed to be one of the best play callers in the league. Maybe stop running at the line and falling down. It's not working. So, you know, maybe try something different. But they kept doing it. Shut on by more. Kind of a sloppy game from both teams, but the Rams ended up pulling it out in the end.
Yeah, it's really weird to look at like Cincinnati's record over the last two seasons, and they still have that head coach.
Zach Taylor, yeah.
Yeah, very weird. Like, he's under 500 by a significant amount. And, I mean, they got to the Super Bowl this year, but I don't think we can give him much credit for it. I think it was more a Burrow thing.
Burrow in the defense, yeah.
Yeah. Burrow was the last one to lead the change room.
Yeah,
how do you feel about
update?
That?
Like, did he actually hurt his knee or no?
His knee is fine. He's not getting surgery or anything, so he's fine. But he actually said after he hurt his knee, he's like, the trainer's about to go check him out. He's just like, nah, go away. He was like, I'm not getting out of the game, which I respect because he's like, basically he said, if I'm not in the game, we got no chance because, you know, they would have to bring in Brandon Allen, who you guys don't know who Brandon Allen is, which is fair. He's a backup quarterback. No, nobody cares about him. But, yeah, so, but you know what? He had a really tough game because the Rams pass rush was killing him the whole game.
At least we would have had one Allen in the Super Bowl.
I'm too funny. Wow. I'm Tyler. I'm too funny.
Wow. Low blow there.
I'm just saying.
Hey, next year. Your boys are actually favorited
year.
For...
Yeah, we're going to win the Super Bowl next year.
You guys are favorited.
Weren't you favorited for the
crazy?
Super Bowl this year?
The Cowboys no, we're in the are top three. Fourth for the Super
yeah,
Bowl
Yeah, which it makes no sense, but
there's
it's
no
just,
way, dude.
It's the NFL, man. They
maybe,
see,
maybe we get
they see the
big...
Cowboys, and they're like, oh, it's they're the Cowboys. They're the, you know, they're
yeah, we
the
had
face
a good
NFL,
roster but... this year. We just, like always, just pooch it.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Just pooched it.
Prescott's pretty good, though.
Overrated.
He had a good season.
Overrated.
He had a good season.
He had a good season, but he's never going to win the Super Bowl.
It was a good season because he didn't break his leg.
And he got the payday he wanted, too.
Yeah, he
yeah,
did.
This guy's a top five paid quarterback in the league, and he still can't win a playoff game. So that's, you know, that's neither here nor there. But
we were going to do it, and then we just had a few bad penalties towards the end of the game. We're going to finally win the playoffs game.
But I think the Bengals, I think that's what killed the Bengals, too, the penalties at the end of the red zone rush there for the
Dude, yeah, they had
the
like
Rams.
Six penalties in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, and there was like two penalties the whole game until we got to that point. And
that killed them. That
the
killed
first
them.
One, like one of them on the, what it was holding or something, that was a ticky-tack one, man. Like that was pretty soft. They were like,
that was
yeah,
a makeup call. No, you know what?
He had his hand around
it was
him, though.
No. That shouldn't have got called. That was a makeup call because T. Higgins caught like a 75-yard touchdown on Ramsey.
Yeah, for the...
After he pulled Ramsey's face mask down and he pulled him to the ground basically to grab the ball, which I don't know how that didn't get called. That, so the refs pretty much said, okay, we're going to let that one go. So when the Rams get in scoring position, they're gonna take advantage of it, and then pretty much a makeup call. You know, in sports we see makeup calls all the time.
Yeah,
it's not fun to see them, but it's just how the game goes, unfortunately. So, you know, it's whatever.
It didn't. The good thing is the next play wasn't a touchdown. It was like four plays later. They still had four chances.
Yeah, but it was like four consecutive. Yeah.
Oh no, trust me. They only scored that on that drive because of the flags.
Oh yeah,
they
no, without a doubt.
If it wasn't for that.
Without a doubt, like.
But they still
no
deserve
way.
To win the game. They were better than the Bengals. So.
Oh yeah, they played great. The Rams played amazing.
Oh, no, they didn't play great.
No.
Their defense played great. Offense
that last
their
drive was so great. Fun to watch.
Yeah. It was very fun to watch, yes.
It was so fun. Like, just Matt Stafford just pretty much being like, yo, I'm only going to Cooper Kupp the whole way down the field.
Yeah, that's only they had no receivers. Beckham was, Odell Beckham was
I know,
injured.
But literally he
Robert
was just
Woods
like,
towards ACL
he's
early
like,
in the
Coop,
season.
I'm literally going to throw the ball towards you, catch it, and then it'll just
Jefferson.
Like every time. Boom,
which is why Van
boom,
Jefferson stinks.
Boom.
Which is why Cooper Kupp, he's the best receiver in the league. I've been saying this the whole year. They were feeding him on the last drive. They're like, we're not going to anybody else. Cooper Kupp, just go make a play. And he made several. He made like five catches on that last drive and the touchdown.
He's
so.
Really good
after
at
having
making,
a really quiet first three quarters.
He was.
He's good at making runs, but he's good at making his runs look all the same too, which I think that's the most impressive part for me because I'm not a football genius.
It was weird because like, yeah, the broadcast kept saying like they need to put him in motion to start confusing the Bengals, and they didn't. They literally just kept him out on the wide or in the slot and – just hope that he would get open. And I feel like, yeah, when you're...
That worked.
At the end, it worked. But, like, I mean, for three quarters, like, that's why I feel like it was such a close game is because the Bengals actually did a good job at, like, keeping him out of the game up until that last drive pretty much.
Yeah, they did a good job.
He literally had, like, one or two catches going into that last drive. Then he finished with seven because they were just, like, they had the Cooper Kupp playbook ready. They were just, like, all these things that people haven't seen yet.
We don't really talk about the Pro Bowl much because it kind of sucks.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Where was it?
It was in Vegas.
It was in Vegas. In where? What stadium?
Allegiant.
The Legion. What's that?
That's the Vegas stadium. Las Vegas stadium.
Oh, Allegiant?
I don't think I know what
yes.
the Pro Bowl
was. It wasn't
was
in
that?
Allegiant. It was in the
Pro Bowl
was
in Allegiant. No, the Pro Bowl was in Allegiant.
Really?
Yes.
With like lots of fans?
Yeah, there was a good amount of fans.
Really?
I mean, I don't care, but I mean...
The only thing I know about the Pro Bowl is that Russell Wilson was the only player to stop on the NFC... to sign a bunch of jerseys for kids when they're going out. And
that
Mac
Jones...
That's just Russell Wilson, though. He's just such a good guy.
Mac Jones did, like, a 75-yard run for literally nothing and then did the gritty in the end zone. That's about it. That's about all I know.
Screw
about
Mac
the Pro
Jones.
Bowl.
Thought it was funny though, but I don't like Mac Jones.
It was funny. It was hilarious.
It was pretty funny. I don't like
the McGriddle. The McGriddle.
Yeah,
but yeah. That the Pro Bowl is just boring to watch because like they just
stinks.
The risk
they're playing,
isn't there.
They're playing two-hand touch out there.
So. Yeah, the risk is just not like there's no point for them to make big hits and stuff like they used to.
Which is fair. Yeah, but I mean,
well, it's touch football. It's touch now.
Yeah, the Pro Bowl.
It was a touch football game.
Because no one wants to get hurt. I get it. They don't want to get hurt going into free agency.
Then take the pads off and let these guys just throw 100-yard bombs.
Bro, they should just play flag, dude. They should play flag football.
7-on-7?
It would be so much better.
That would be more fun.
Yeah,
watching
7-on-7. Like flag football 7-on-7 would be sick.
That would be way more fun.
Yeah, it would be fun. It would actually still be competitive.
Yeah. But no, they did two-hand touch.
But like, I mean, I think this is just a really big conversation in terms of all-star games. What do you have to do to make them more competitive? Because nobody cares anymore. The players don't care in the NBA. You got Doncic.
NBA is a little bit better now with the whole like LeBron, like the draft.
No, I'm sorry.
Thing.
You've got the draft. You've got Doncic and Trae Young at the half line trying to make a half court shot with 10 minutes to go.
Yeah, like, because the score's going to be so high because it's literally the best players in the league all playing. But it's like a little more competitive now because of the way they have it drafted. It's like once it gets to the fourth quarter, there's like a set point limit for each team to hit. And then whoever hits that wins the game. Like, there's no more of the... Because, like, what was it, 3 years ago? Someone won off a free throw, and, like, everyone was super mad about it. Yeah. So, yeah, they have that now. Yeah, they it could definitely be more competitive, but it's not as bad. It was super competitive when Kobe was in it. Like, Kobe broke his nose 1 year in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Then he met Dwayne Wade 3 days later and, like, gave him 40. It was pretty funny. Like, Wade called him, and then Kobe's like, I love it. See you this week. And Dwayne Wade's like, oh, damn, we have the Lakers, and then Kobe popped off. It was a good time.
Okay, well, we're going to throw it to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the National Hockey League, a little bit about the NBA. We're going to have a UFC, a bit of a UFC
breakdown
moment.
From this past weekend, man.
Yeah, breakdown of the last weekend. And then we're going to slam the table and talk about what's upcoming. And then we'll have a hot topic.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. I'm Tyler Sear, joined by Josh McGrath, Sega, and Greg Avgaropoulos. We were actually just in a heated argument. Well, not a heated argument, but a discussion.
I'm just spitting facts. That's all of us.
We're going to keep going. Josh, lay it out for us. Where's Ottawa sitting in the wild card race right now, and who's ahead of them? Who's behind them?
So Ottawa's seventh right now. They got New Jersey, New York Islanders, Columbus, Detroit, Boston, and Washington all ahead of them. Buffalo, Philly, and Montreal, of course, are all below them. I was just telling Ty how it doesn't look too good for your boys in Ottawa, but you know he thinks that they still got a fighting chance.
So listen,
to make it.
Hear me out. So even the chance is still there. The chance to make the wild card is still there, but it's less dependent on our team and more dependent on what happens to Boston. And the Rangers.
I don't know, man. It just looks like Boston's playing pretty good hockey.
They have been.
Yeah. I just don't think... I don't know. Boston's always one of those teams that they just... They'll always... It seems like they always make the playoffs.
This is what concerns me. This is what concerns me. See, like, this is the thing. These two are not going anywhere, unfortunately. And I don't know why they're so good this year. I don't get that. But these three aren't moving at all. They are going to stay there to make a point on Tampa. They are. Florida is going to stay in first to make a point on Tampa, and Toronto doesn't like to move, so they're not going to. Washington...
Actually, Tampa and Florida and Toronto low-key might interchange a little bit if Florida starts to slump a little bit. Because Florida has a chance to slump. They're not going to go like this the whole year.
We've said that five times.
And we've never said that once.
Well, we have. When Quenneville quit, we said they were going to drop.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, we all
I don't know
did.
Who we is.
No, on the press box.
Hey, Tampa... No, sorry. Florida was like one of my favorites for the cup this year, but I still think it's gonna be Tampa.
No, I don't think Tampa's gonna make it.
I think
it
Tampa's
again.
Going for the.
I think Florida. I think Florida's. Actually
I think Tampa's
gonna,
three-peating.
No, I refuse. I refuse to even talk about that.
I don't think. It's
but
out of,
Washington,
I don't think it's out of the ordinary.
So I think this. I think Washington, who's in the first wild card spot right now, is gonna take the Rangers spot, and the Rangers are gonna have to fight with the Bruins, and those are gonna be the two teams that are gonna drop. Because I think that's just, I really do see that happening. I really do. Like, that's what usually happens. That's what happened in 2012.
Yeah,
the Rangers were here.
Yeah,
they dropped, and then Ottawa was in the second spot. Or
Washington has 9 overtime losses. That's pretty sad. They're so close, bro.
Yeah, for some reason, they get points from that. Don't know why that's a rule.
But, like, another thing, the good thing is Ottawa, lately, Their last three games, they lost two and they won one. Those two losses were pretty tough, I'm not going to lie. But they're beating teams in their division, which is a good thing. They're 5-4-1.
You guys are under 500, both on at home and on the road.
Yes.
You guys don't have anywhere that play good, really.
No, but these numbers, so this 13 and this 11 have not really moved much. They've maybe moved.
So do you think Ottawa still has a chance to make the playoffs?
The chance is there, but again, it's not on how we play, and it's on how
do you think
Boston
it'll
and the Rangers play.
Do you think it'll happen?
It's literally both.
I don't
both
think
factors
it'll
matter there. You can't just be like, it's not. Doesn't matter how we play. It's only how the other teams play. Like,
no,
it
because I know
how
we're gonna play. I know how we're gonna play.
Bad.
No, we're playing great. We are
17-24-4.
Hate it when you say that.
I mean, how is that great? I don't get
because
it.
We lost 10 games in a row at the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
since then,
and now you're 5-4-1 in your last 10. That's not good either.
Well, it's good compared to what we were doing last year.
Okay, I mean that's fair
enough. Except for your last 18 games of the last season.
So this is what I really want to see. So this is what I like
I love
to
this
see.
Show.
Ottawa is currently sixth in the Atlantic Division, and that's what I like to see because last year, at this point, we were here. We were where Montreal
two
was.
Spots up.
Well, yeah, but we
it's time for the cup, fellas.
We finished last year in fourth.
Yeah, because the last however many games? How many games did you guys win at the end of the season last year? It was a lot.
Like 12 of our last 16?
Yeah, like, that makes sense.
But see, that's the thing, like, this team can really do something good. Just we're playing. I will say this. Okay, we're not playing amazing, but we're playing good compared to what we have on the ice. Because we don't have Colin White, we don't have Shane Pinto, we don't have Drake Batherson. Josh Norris is also hurt. Tim Stutzle is our number one center. It's his first year playing center. He's barely played 20 games at center. Like we're playing pretty good compared to what's been presented to us. Now imagine we get everything back. Think about that for a second.
Mm. I'm thinking.
Now,
nothing is happening in my brain.
Yeah, whatever. I think if Pinto comes back, it makes the biggest difference.
I'm confused. How are my boys in Los Angeles still number three right now? We have less points than St. Louis.
Oh, no, you can't talk about that division. That's the weakest division.
Yeah, that division's terrible.
It's the weakest division in hockey. Except for Vegas.
You're still
Vegas
here in a playoff
really
spot,
good.
Though.
Well, so, yeah,
but
I'm
you know what?
Confused.
Calgary's been looking good, too, but It's hard to admit that because Calgary plays against its own division. Like it's like,
that's okay. Now I understand.
What if I told you the Leafs have a chance to win the Atlantic? Like the
division. Oh, they did last year, didn't they?
But it was the All Canadian Division. That division was terrible.
You guys definitely have a chance at winning. Just like you get, you guys have to hope that Florida has.
We're only down 4 points, and we have two, and they have one more game. So
yeah, so you guys have to get a win. Hope Florida.
I think it's
takes
there.
An L.
They have a chance.
I think it's there for the wild card. I really do. I think they make it interesting, but I think it's less. I don't think it's going to be interesting because they have a chance to make it. I think it's going to be interesting because they have a team, or they have a chance to kick a team out. Like I think Detroit's probably going to. I think Detroit's probably going to stay there because they're just getting better. Columbus is going to drop. New York. See, that's the thing. I don't know. Like New York could do really well. It could be either Detroit or New York. New Jersey is just they're not having. They're having a bad year. They've got some bad luck. But Ottawa is going to move up, and I think they're going to be like right here where Columbus is, and I think they're going to have to battle Boston and New York. And I think it's going to come down to if Boston loses to Ottawa a couple times because they do meet.
You think Ottawa's going to catch up to Boston's 20-point differential right now?
No, but I think they're going to help Detroit do it. I think by them playing better at the end of the year, it's going to help Detroit. That's what I think. Because I think, don't they meet Detroit at the end of the year? I think they do meet Detroit at the end of the year.
I think like 2 weeks out from the playoffs, everything's going to get locked in.
Well, that's what
just
always
the way,
happens in the
just
East.
The way it looks.
That's what always happens in the East.
Yeah,
but
it
like,
won't matter. If everything's already locked, then it's not going to matter.
It's not locked yet.
What we have like 2 months of hockey left.
See this, and this twice here.
Three times.
Oh my God, that's insane. If the East is locked in, that's not good. For those teams, that's bad. They do not want to play Ottawa at that moment.
I think they do.
No, you don't. You can't say that. You cannot say that. Ottawa won. I think I'm literally going to look up
Ottawa every game. It's because at the end of seasons, teams tend to start resting their better players.
No, Ottawa's not going to rest. No, Ottawa's going to get all their better players back. We're going to have a healthy roster at this point.
Listen, that's what I'm saying. If it's locked, right? If playoffs are locked, everyone's clinched their playoff spot.
Oh, no, it won't be clinched. It's not going to matter. It won't be clinched.
That's what I mean by locked.
If it's locked, like, we know what teams will, like, what teams still can make it, and we know what teams can't make it.
That's what clinched
Detroit,
means.
Like, if Detroit, Boston, and New York.
That's what clinched means, man.
No, listen to me. Listen, you don't get it. If Detroit, New York, and Boston are still the three teams that are fighting for the wild card spot, and Ottawa's in Columbus's spot, or even if, and Columbus is behind Ottawa, or if they're even fighting with Columbus. They play Columbus. Columbus is their fifth last game. Like, oh, so you don't know how much? Oh, I thought I said Pittsburgh. Never mind. I was gonna say that would make me upset.
For the listeners, we're looking at the Ottawa schedule right now. If you can tell what we're doing.
Yeah. So like, they play Detroit three times in March or in April.
Yeah.
And they play Boston and New York once. The Boston's the last team, and Boston's currently in the second wild card spot.
Yeah, but at this point, I think it's like Boston's already going to be guaranteed a wild card spot.
No.
Dude, it's not even. It's not guaranteed. About this tie. It's
I'm
not about
this.
You guys have to catch up. 19 points as of from now to like in 2 weeks to even get to the point that you're thinking about.
No, I'm not.
You guys are going to make up.
I'm not talking about us. I'm not talking about us making the playoffs. I'm talking about us kicking another team out of the playoffs. I don't think we're going to make the playoffs. But I think when reporters here in Ottawa say they think it's going to get interesting, they think that they're going to help one of these teams.
But don't you guys want to be lower in the rankings so you guys can get a better pick?
No, we don't need that.
It kind of looks like you guys need a pick.
No, we don't. Because we have amazing talent. We have amazing talent. They're just not playing for us yet. We got a bunch of kids in the NCAA, and we got Tyler Boucher. We got Jake Sanderson, who's supposed
but
to
even
be
then, like, so the next are, you guys best are still Eric Carlson. You guys still want to wait on development.
Like, no, we don't need to draft somebody else. We don't.
You don't want to wait on an NCAA player coming in and waiting for like 2 years for him to get comfortable in the league and be good. It's not a good thing.
He's the best player in America right now. Yeah, but he captained the U.S. at the World Juniors.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's the World Juniors.
Jake Sanderson.
Oh, okay.
It's the World Juniors.
He was fifth overall.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
Doesn't guarantee he's going to come in the league and just
when
be
is he gonna play anyway?
A big point scorer for you guys.
The minute North Dakota get knocked out, he's coming to Ottawa.
Isn't he like 20?
I can guarantee you he's better than our bottom 2D. Without a doubt.
I'm not saying he's not better than what you guys have. I'm just saying that it's not like he's going to come in and be the impact player that you guys want him to be. There's still a chance
but he
that he's
will,
not.
Because our expectations aren't through the roof for him. We suck.
I finally said it. Finally, dude.
It happened. Jeez. Oh, my God.
We suck. We do.
Finally. This is a monumental occasion that just happened.
And Sanderson will be Carlson. Sanderson will probably be as good as Carlson was, or if not is
oh
now.
Oh, my goodness.
None of the Boston
those are
back.
Huge shoes.
Well, because Carlson went all
high
Carlson
ceiling
was
for him,
one of the best centers of all time.
You just called Carlson a center.
Senator.
Oh, sorry. I don't know. I really do think that I think it's going to be a tough one, man. And I think these three teams do not want to see Ottawa at the end of the year.
Which teams?
So I'm just confused, though.
Boston, New York, and Detroit. Sorry. I keep saying these
Boston's
teams.
Locked in, so...
No, they're not. Boston's not locked in.
This is why I'm confused, Ty. This is why I'm confused.
They're in the wild card.
Yeah, I'm saying they're going to make the playoffs, so they're going to be fourth in the Atlantic and make the playoffs.
No, I don't think so.
I'm just confused, though, because you keep saying that the way the Sens schedule is at the end of the year, you're going to help a different team kick someone out of the playoffs. But who are you going to kick out?
Boston.
So you guys are going to throw three games to Detroit to help them get into a playoff spot and then beat Boston so they can drop? That's why I'm confused.
It's either going to be Boston or Detroit. It's most likely going to be Detroit because I think Detroit has a better chance of catching Boston than we do.
Yes, they do. But what I'm saying is are you guys going to throw three games to Detroit in order to allow them to make the playoffs over Boston come the end of the year if it's that close?
No, I think we're going to beat Detroit three times and Boston's going to take it or New York's going to lose to us.
I'm so confused.
I think New York's going to lose to us and then Detroit's going to win three games against us.
You think you're
going to
be Detroit three times?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Three times.
I think we're better than Detroit.
I think they're better than you guys.
I think they have a better lineup down the middle. but they don't have our D core.
Well, your D core isn't good either, though. You have Shabbat. Who else? Who else is good on your D core?
Branstrom, Shabbat. You've got Lassie Thompson that you move in and out, who's played fantastic. Jacob Bernard Docker, who for some reason isn't playing the minutes he should be. So this is the problem. It's like DJ Smith is not the right coach for us right now, because Bernard Docker, in my opinion, should be playing every single night. He's not made one mistake all season. Branstrom is unreal. Yeah, he's small. Yeah, he gets blown over by the wind. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because he gets the puck to his teammate first. And that's what matters. And Shabbat is being forced to play 32 minutes because you got Mete playing on the third line. Mete is terrible.
Okay? I would agree. I would agree with that. That he's terrible.
And he's horrible.
The D also just isn't good for your team.
No, they are.
I disagree. I think Shabbat's good. Fine. But, like, I don't think anyone else on your defense is, like, good.
And you obviously don't watch enough hockey.
I've seen Ottawa play.
Okay, would you call your D-core good then?
No.
Okay, who has a good D-core then in the league?
No, not my team. My team's
D-core. No, well, let's compare D-cores, because then who has the best D-core in the league, in your opinion?
That's a good question.
Because it was an easy question to answer a year and 2 years ago, and it was Carolina.
There's so many different ones now.
But now it's so hard to answer.
I mean, Carolina's D-core is still pretty good.
It's not as good as it was.
Well, it's still good, though. Like, we had defense. Good defensive structure. That's just, their coaching's really good. That's why their defense is so good.
And they had Dougie Hamilton, too.
Yeah, they did, but they let him go because he had contract and whatever.
Also, you guys want to hear what I heard? This Martin St. Louis is head coach of the Montreal Canadiens.
What about him?
Assistant coach is probably the actual coach. And then St. Louis is just the face.
Fair enough.
And that's what I think.
I don't blame him.
That's what I think it's in like in Montreal, because they refuse to hire English coaches. So St. Louis is just the face, and then the assistant coach for the Habs is the coach.
So they just don't want to hire coaches that aren't French.
Yeah, they refuse to do that. It's a rule. You have to speak French to be a Montreal Canadian.
Oh, no, I know that, but even if you're just... I just find that weird. I know. I mean, I get it, but it's like...
But they found a way around it. Like, Jeff Gordon? Come on. Jeff Gordon is the general manager of the Montreal Canadiens. Kent Hughes is just the face. Come on. Let's be honest here.
In hockey, is it similar to, like, how the NBA is, where, like, they don't have... It's more just, like, the coach's job is to keep the team focused and, like... Or is there actually, like, a lot of coaching strat in...
No. The coach runs the team. The general manager changes.
It's just NBA where the coach is pretty much useless. The NBA actually, like, you don't need a coach.
You don't need a coach. But in hockey, you need a coach because every coach is different.
Coach is just there so he can get blamed when the good team's doing bad and pretty much to draw up one play a game.
No. So the coach in the National Hockey League really matters. Like, it actually matters because he creates your team and he makes your team play the way that he wants it to play and the way he thinks he's going to succeed. Whereas the general manager makes the team for him.
Yeah. I understand
the general manager does control the team.
I was just asking if, like, it...
It is getting worse.
As impactful.
It is getting closer to the NBA, and I don't like that. And I have some stories that I can't...
You know, the NBA, like, you... Truthfully, one guy does impact an entire game, but in hockey, like, you do need a whole team constructed.
Well, I don't know if that's quite true, because the Oilers are literally ran off McDavid right now, and Draisaitl, so it's like... It just depends on the team, I guess. I mean, yeah, the teams that have more than, like, just McDavid and Draisaitl are doing a lot better. But, like, Edmonton's still doing pretty damn good. What I'm saying is,
like, for the NBA, like, yes, Giannis' team's really good, but, like, Giannis is, like, the only true superstar on his team, and to me, the only true all-star. And they can Middleton? Easily lock... This year, I wouldn't give him all-star.
Well, not this year, but, like, I wouldn't give him previously, all-star like, year. I mean, I thought you meant like, he's not an all-star, like, in his career? Or
year? No, just this year.
Okay, yeah, that's fair enough.
But, or, like, I'll have a better. Jokic.
Yeah, Jokic is...
Dude, they're, like, so literally good. Top three team in the West, and his team's, like, literally...
All right, Well, we're going to switch a break. When we get back, we're actually going to get into this a little bit. We're going to talk about the NBA. Yeah. But, your guys' call. Where do you think Ottawa finishes at the end of the year? In the wild card race.
I think they literally stay. I think in the next like month and a bit, they'll be out of the wild card race.
They are going to stay in where they are right now in the Atlantic.
So, in the Atlantic.
Yeah,
this
was
maybe,
just like bottom
maybe
three in
they pass New Jersey, but I don't think they pass the Islanders.
Where are they in the wild card right now, you said? Seven?
They're seventh.
Yeah, they're going to stay there or maybe go up one.
I think
or
they'll move up to six.
One. It's going to be like, who knows? They're just going to stay around there. They're not gonna, really going to move.
Okay, I think they're going to be fifth.
Okay.
I think they're going to be fifth fighting for fourth.
Okay.
I think fourth is the best case scenario.
Okie doke.
All right, cool. We're going to throw to a break. You'll see the press box on CKDJ 107.9.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
I'm Tyler Sear, joined by Greg Avgaropoulos and Josh McGrath. Segay. Josh, the UFC.
Yeah, man. UFC 271 in Houston this past weekend. Great card. I really enjoyed it. The three big fights, Jared Cannonier defeated Derek Brunson by TKO in the second round. I unfortunately missed this one. I was on my way home from work. Gregory, how was that fight?
It was actually pretty fun. To be honest, it didn't. It kind of just was more one sided than I thought it would be. Like Cannonier kind of just he just kind of wrecked them up, and it was just like a lot going on. And I think Cannonier is he deserves a title shot now. No,
he does. He does.
He's next in line.
I know. From what I understood, was at the end of the first round, he got saved by the bell.
He did.
So, like,
yes.
It was all Brunson at the first round.
He was on the ground. He was getting ground and pounded, and then round ended luckily for him. And then after that, he just like a switch flipped, and he was just like a man possessed after that.
The Killer Gorilla, my favorite nickname inside the UFC. So such a cool name. He has a cool story just quickly because he fought a heavyweight originally. He weighed like 250 pounds, then moved down to 205, and now he's fighting at 185.
Whoa.
Dude, like if you look up the Killer Gorilla, he's now just like a chiseled god. It's kind of weird. Co-main event, Thai Bam Bam Tui or Shui Vossa. Got his biggest win of his career against Derek the Black Beast Lewis. He actually knocked him out. He knocked out the King of Knockouts, kind of ironic there, with a nasty elbow. And, you know, they're sitting there in the second round just trading shots. I thought Ty was going to go out, and he looked wobbled, and then he landed a nice jab, straight left jab on Derek Lewis, and then Derek was wobbled, and then
had him against the fence.
Boom, big elbow. And Derek just face planted. And people are now saying, like, oh, you know, Derek just wanted out. Like, that didn't even look like a real knockout.
No, I think he was done.
He was out, man. He was out cold. I don't care.
The shot didn't look that hard. I know what they mean by that. Because it just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, but.
And then
those will put you out.
Those are the ones that are going to get you out. You know, that's what's going to knock you out. You saw McGregor beat Cerrone with a shoulder. Like, come on. You're not expecting that.
Yeah, but Cerrone was also past his time, you know? But,
yeah,
you know,
I understand. But
so
still.
Is Conor McGregor. We don't have to bring that guy up. He's out of here.
We don't like.
And then the main event also brought up quite a bit of controversy. Israel Adesanya defeated Robert Whittaker. Honestly, it was a very high-level fight. I enjoyed it.
So fun.
But the average UFC fan was not happy with it.
The casuals is what we'll call them.
Yeah, the casuals. Yeah. I get where the casuals are coming from, where, like, if you want to beat a champion right now, you literally have to dominate them. Like, that's the only way you can beat a champion. You have to knock them out, or you have to literally just make it look like what Kamaru did to Tyron. Like, literally make them look like they're absolutely washed. And it sucks because, yeah, whenever you go to those decisions and they're razor sharp, it's more likely that Izzy's going to retain that belt. But at the same time, I don't think Whittaker actually did enough to get the belt because his takedowns didn't really do much, and he played Izzy's game. Izzy just sat on the outside, landed the leg kicks, you know.
I agree.
Had a nice knee, and yeah, Izzy once again gets his title back. He's now 22-1. He is set up to fight Jared Cannonier. I think it's in June they were calling it for, International Fight Week. He'll probably fight him, and that's always a really fun card to watch. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. This upcoming week, we have Jamal Hill versus Johnny Walker. We're also supposed to have Dos Anjos and Fiziev, I think that's how you say his name, on this card, but that got moved to the Masvidal card because that card is kind of lacking right now with no championship matchup.
Colby Masvidal is going to be a good matchup, but
Colby's going to 50-45 him.
Yeah,
50-45.
Oh my god,
50-45.
Jeez, man.
Masvidal.
It's really just because of the story is why that's a fight.
Yeah, I know it's a fun fight.
They used to be friends,
building up to it and stuff. But
Colby's just 10 times better than him. Masvidal's a journeyman.
Like, I give Masvidal a knockout chance, but I think that's about it. And then the following week,
he's so overrated.
Actually, this is probably a title eliminator in 2 weeks from now. Islam Makhachev, the Khabib prodigy, is fighting Benelli Dariush, which is going to be a really fun fight. But this weekend, I'm expecting Jamal Hill to get the job done. But Johnny Walker, if you guys want to watch a very interesting fighter, watch him. Also, Joaquin Buckley, the guy that had the Superman kick last year.
All right.
Massive.
We'll talk about that next week. Let's get in the NBA, Josh.
So this upcoming weekend, we also have...
Let me just mention this. We did not actually have an NBA segment last week. We apologize for that. There were some technical difficulties.
We didn't?
We made it happen.
We were talking about the big trades.
It was transferred, and it had zero bites to it. So, unfortunately, we did not have an NBA segment last week.
Oh, my God. Okay, so let me just quickly break down what happened last week. So, DeMontis Sabonis, he got moved to the Kings for Tyrese Halliburton out of nowhere. Very weird. Kristaps Porzingis went from the Mavs to the Wizards. Also very weird. That came out of nowhere. Yep. What was the other big one? Caris LeVert got moved from the Pacers to the Cavs. Massive trade for the Cavs. That team's looking really spicy now. And then, of course, the massive one that kind of broke.
That one didn't happen during the show. That was a few days after. Yeah.
The other one that happened last week on Thursday at the trade deadline. Guys, the Ben Simmons saga is over.
It is. He's gone.
It's all over.
Finally.
And James Harden ends up in a place where I think he should have been in the first place, in Philadelphia.
And I think he'll do great.
I think Philly's...
More than happy.
Their chances to... I mean, it kind of sucks. They got rid of a lot of depth, but I mean, they kept... Tobias Harris, which I think was actually pretty good for them. I know Sixers fans haven't been too happy about him.
Do you need depth nowadays? Like the Raptors, Raptors really did well by using depth, but
no, it helps for sure.
Like, I mean, I just don't think you really need it that much.
Giving up Seth Curry for them, and I mean, obviously you get James Harden back, but like giving up Seth was, you know, to the Nets, a team that you guys might play in the playoffs, kind of scary because that guy he easily could be like a 20 points per game player in the playoffs without Kyrie there. Like, he's going to become that third option. He's a good shooter. He can make plays. So,
I get what you mean.
When you're Philly, you just got a arguably top 10 player in the league, former MVP, someone that you can put in the pick and roll with Joel Embiid, which is really, really good. And, and Ben Simmons ends up in Brooklyn. I don't know how that is going to work.
I have no idea.
You know what's crazy, though?
It won't.
You guys remember when Blake went to the Nets and everyone's like, oh, Blake can't dunk anymore. And then his first bucket in the Nets jersey, he dunks.
Yeah.
Imagine Ben Simmons like comes across half Curry and just like Steph Curry range three, wet.
That'd be unreal.
I'd just be like, oh, man, what is happening now?
Oh, they're terrifying.
What is happening? But yeah, I think it's actually a pretty good pickup for the Nets because they get a good defender. Obviously, he has to get back into basketball shape.
So is he
going to
play the
point
guard now for them?
I would assume so. The thing is in the playoffs, what's really going to hurt them is that Kyrie can only play road games.
Yeah, it's true.
So like they're going to have like two games with Kyrie, and then he's going to have to sit out for two games, and he's going to come back and then be swapping in and out. So I think it's just going to really mess up their
one thing.
Their
one
vibe.
Thing that also might be odd for the Nets in the playoffs is they get down to the fourth quarter, big moments. Obviously, Durant's going to have the ball in his hands, and then you're going to need to space out the floor, which is going to be hard when you have Simmons. Because is he going to stand in the corner, or is he going to set screens? Like,
yeah.
What is he going to do?
They also got Andre Drummond in that trade, which like kind of helps, but like
he doesn't really do anything. He's more just a rebounder.
7-footer, I can't really do much. He's just going to be on for 15 minutes.
Yeah, he
kind of
doesn't do a lot. So
also
he used to be good, not anymore,
this upcoming weekend we have the NBA All-Star Game, Team LeBron versus Team Kevin Durant, who's actually not playing.
He looks so just pissy. During that draft, man.
He's always pissy, though.
I mean, I understand.
He always has his panties.
James Harden was skipping.
He always has his
like
panties
skipping classes.
Have any of you seen like the Twitter controversy that he always gets into?
Dude, yeah, he loves
this
that stuff.
This guy destroys people on Twitter.
I know, he loves that stuff.
He does that.
But it makes sense. Like, he is a top five talent, not actual player, but
ever.
Top five talent in terms of like a score and everything.
Maybe the best scorer of all time.
Yeah, you get all these people. I'd say Kobe still, but you know.
And you have the Lakers.
We're not gonna talk about
anyways,
that.
Anyways, yeah, like Durant, like he just, I don't know, him and Kyrie, like they're both just like very controversial people. Like people say stuff and they have to reply. They have to get their point out and be like, well, dude, you're just a kid that sits in his basement that just wants a response from me. It's like, yeah, he got what he wanted.
Which is, I find that so funny when athletes respond to kids on Twitter just trying to call them out.
I think
NHL players stoop down to their level.
I think the NHL is the only place where that's successfully happened, and it's Sean Avery. That's it.
I'm not sure.
There's not a lot of players. And Brad Marchand. Brad Marchand this year has decided, yeah, I'm gonna be an ass. Yeah. Brad Marchand decided this year that he's not gonna be nice, and well,
yeah,
I think he succeeded. Greg, Brad Marchand suspended for six games, eh?
Yeah, but we're under the NBA now.
Yeah, too bad. We're not going to talk about that. We at least spoke for like 25 minutes on
that. Yeah, screw Brad
Marchand. We're not going to talk about
that. I don't like him.
But point is, Brad Marchand's gone, and Greg's happy because he's a Leafs fan. So. Yeah,
Saturday, the most interesting night of the All-Star break is happening. The three-point contest, the dunk contest, and also they changed how the skills competition's working a bit. It's actually kind of cool. So the three-point contest, we have Desmond Bane, Luke Kennard, Zach LaVine, CJ McCollum, Patty Mills, Karl-Anthony Towns, Van Vliet, Raptor, and Trae Young. Fred Van Vliet made his first All-Star game.
He did.
Oh, really?
We talked about this earlier in the year saying he wasn't going to, but he did. So congratulations, Fred. I personally think either Trae Young or Patty Mills are going to win this competition. They're both savage shooters, but you never know. All these guys can shoot pretty well. I think Desmond Bane is going to be the worst guy there.
Josh, I'll be honest. I tried to watch basketball the other day. Tried to watch Raptors, and all my favorite players have left. So I'm sad.
Who's your favorite player?
I really like Norman Powell.
If you're like a casual basketball player, you should not watch the Raptors because they have very like in-depth things that you have to be able to appreciate.
You have to know basketball in order to watch Raptors play because they're such a good like defensive team and just like their coach is really good.
They have a lot of schemes.
Yeah. No more Lowry, and I was sad. But I've known about that. But then I was like, oh, where's Powell? And I was like, oh.
Powell's been gone for like 2 years.
Yeah.
So then the skills challenge, they actually switched it up this year, and I don't know why. Like the Cavs are the team participating. So they have the Antetokounmpos.
The Cavs.
So Alex Antetokounmpo plays for Raptors 905. Yep. He was drafted to the Raptors. So at some point, we might see Antetokounmpo in Toronto, which would be pretty cool. Giannis Antetokounmpo and then Thionis Antetokounmpo are all playing on like their skills challenge. Don't know why they're the family that's getting to do it, but whatever.
No idea.
And then Cavs are getting Jarrett Allen, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley. Also weird that it's like that's the team that they chose to put
in
there.
And then the rookies.
And then rookies.
Yeah.
Weird. Scotty Barnes, another Toronto player. Cade Cunningham, fun guy to watch. And Josh Giddey, actually probably the biggest rookie surprise this year. I didn't even know who this kid was from Australia.
And he's been going viral.
He's disgusting. Yeah. Scored like 27 points yesterday. Yeah. Pretty insane. 3-point already said. And then dunk contest, arguably the best little contest for
is
this
Jalen Green
competition.
In the dunk contest this year?
He is. I think Obi Toppin is going to win, but we have Cole Anthony, Jalen Green, Obi Toppin, and Juan Toscano-Anderson from the Golden State Warriors.
I'm going for him because his name sounds cool.
He is cool, man. And I just don't know, like, I don't know. He has bounce, but like not bounce like Obi Toppin. Like Toppin can jump out the gym.
I'm taking Jalen Green.
Yeah. Cole Anthony might be the sleeper pick.
Who?
Cole Anthony, because he's 6 feet.
Oh, yeah,
so
he is.
Like, anything he does is going to be even harder.
Only reason I don't really like Obi. I mean, Obi was in a dunk contest last year, too. And it's just the thing I don't like about tall dunkers is it just doesn't look as cool when they do stuff because they're tall. Like, he's like 6 foot
except
eight.
Except for the year, do you remember the year, you might not have seen it, but JaVale McGee was in the contest?
Yep.
He was like dunking two basketballs at once, dunked three at once. Yep. It was all crazy. And then for the All-Star game on Sunday, you know, lots of talent in that game. I think Team LeBron is going to win. His team that he drafted was broken, man. Like, Kevin Durant looked like he had nothing prepared. He just kind of came in, was, like, looking. It was like, yeah, I want that guy. And then LeBron, dude, like, this guy had notes. Like, he's sitting there.
He's got a notepad on him.
He's like... like, he was, like, strategizing, bro. He's a genius. LeGM back at it
don't
again.
Don't you find it so funny that KD did not take Harden?
Yeah, dude, I thought that was hilarious. When KD and LeBron let Harden be the last pick. I feel like that was something they did before. They're like, yo, since Harden's being like this, we're going to make him last pick. But Harden's not even in anymore. Jarrett Allen replaced him. So Team LeBron actually has Jarrett Allen in place of James Harden. And who's the other player? Draymond Green's out. And okay. KD. So then we have DeJounte Murray and LaMelo Ball both on this KD's team. So
LaMelo Ball, that's a good one.
Yeah, I was actually surprised LeBron didn't take LaMelo. I thought, you know, taking LaMelo with like a lineup of Giannis, LeBron, DeMar, and like any other dunker on his team, Donovan Mitchell, would have been cool.
Especially because him and Lonzo used to play together, so you think maybe he drafts Lonzo's brother, you know?
Yeah, but you know, I feel like LeBron actually didn't like Lonzo when they played.
Too many distractions.
We're gonna throw it to a break. When we come back, we have a hot topic for you. I honestly think we're just gonna talk. I don't know. We'll think of one. But for now, you're listening to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. I'm Tyler Steer, joined by Greg Avgeropoulos and Josh McGrath Seguin. Greg, what's our hot topic for the week?
So today, we literally just came up with it like 30 seconds ago. What is the best or what is the hardest position to play in any sport ever? So
who's going to start us off? Josh, should we do rock, paper, scissors? Let's do a rock, paper, scissors, three-way, okay? On shoot.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
So dang, Josh boys. Beat both of us, so he gets to go
dang,
first.
Dang, dude. I'll rock first every time, people. Every time.
Every go ahead, time. Josh.
Anyways, man, that's tough. That's a tough question.
We should have probably gave each other more time to think about this because we just came up with it. But
I'll go... I'll go pitcher in baseball.
That's a decent because, starting, relieving, closing?
Probably starting, dude. Because starting, you're throwing like 100 and some pitches every game. So your shoulder's mauled. So you have to be able to throw so many different types of pitches. Yeah. And you're pretty much the person that dictates the entire game. Like,
I think I'm going to have to disagree. Yeah. I think
you get the win losses. You get, like, if you throw like six bad pitches and they hit six straight bombs, you guys are screwed and that is your fault. I just think there's a lot of things with that comes with pitching. That's like, it's very, very technical.
That's fair enough.
And yeah.
Well, I say pitching. As I don't disagree, I think it should be, it's not going to be my pick, but if it was a pitcher, I think it should be a closing pitcher because you have to finish off the starting pitcher's job. So if you did a really good job and you mess it up in three pitches, you can mess it up in three pitches, whereas a pitcher can climb his way back out of the hole. We've seen that a lot with the Blue Jays where Ryu does a really bad first inning and then his next six are so solid and they win the game because of it.
He didn't do that a lot though, last year.
No, he didn't.
No, so I just think like, yeah, I just feel like closing pitchers, the reason I wouldn't give it to them is because they're pitching significantly less.
Well, yeah, I guess that.
You know what I mean? Like, I can it's just like that, you're going in for like one inning or like
okay,
an inning and
well,
a half.
Well, what are we
like,
justifying? How is it like, how are we justifying that it's a harder position or the hardest position? Is it the hardest position to win at? Or is it the hardest position to play?
Just to play. Sure. Just to play.
Just to play?
Yeah.
Then, yeah, starting pitcher. If it's the hardest position to win at,
well,
I think
right?
it's a closing pitcher.
Like, I feel like that's another thing. Is like, I feel like a closing pitcher can come in and pretty much throw two moving balls and one fastball. But like a starting pitcher, you have to be able to have the whole arsenal pretty much. So I think that's where it kind of gets...
I guess so. But I mean, Robbie Ray throws three pitches, so...
Yeah, he literally...
Well, no, there's some people that insane. Do just throw three pitches, and they're that good at throwing those three pitches. But I'm just saying...
You'd be surprised as to how many... pitchers out there only throw three or four pitches.
No, for sure.
A lot of them do, yeah.
There's some that throw like six or seven.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Like, Granke can throw, what, seven pitches?
Six pitches, yeah.
Oh, he can throw them out. And he can throw a knuckleball if he wanted to.
He doesn't 100%. Throw a knuckleball.
Well,
he doesn't
throw it, but he could. Throw anything they really wanted to. It's just...
Some of them just don't want to try some of those pitches in game because it's like they don't know where it's going to go.
I think Granke's on a whole other level because this guy can also bat. Like, this guy can hit bombs. He has hit bombs.
He's a little old now. He's a little... And baseball, actually, they have a universal DH now, so he's not going to get the bat. So,
anyways.
Yeah.
What's your guys'?
Tyler, you want to go?
Craig, you can go.
All right. Well, I think it was a pretty straightforward one, my opinion. I think this should be a lot of people's opinion, to be honest. Well, people that know the sport. I think quarterback's the hardest just because, I mean, you got to remember 300-page playbooks, man. It's very hard. You're in the pocket all day. You got to worry about 350-pound guys rushing at you and trying not to die, essentially. Making throws is very hard with all these elite defenders in the league. I think a lot of people think they're like, oh, he missed that throw. That must have been like, how do you miss that throw? I could have made that throw. That's not the case. It's very hard to make throws in the NFL, especially with how big the field is. Accuracy is really hard. It's hard to hit a moving target. You're responsible for everybody on offense if you're the quarterback. So I just think pretty like that and corner and cornerback are probably the two hardest, in my opinion.
I'd even say O-line's up there. O-line, just because you're literally at a disadvantage the entire time.
Yeah.
Because D-line, they're like...
They get a rushing start.
They're literally running at you, and your first step
is
backwards.
You're on the back foot,
exactly.
I get that.
Like, O-linemen tend to be less athletic and, sorry to say, but, like, fatter. So it's like, they're literally just, like, at all disadvantages at the, like, counter position that they're playing. But, yeah, I would agree. Quarterback's definitely up there for hardest position.
So I've got two. I don't know which one to pick.
I swear, if you put a soccer player up in this debate, I'm going to scream.
No, not a position player, but a goalkeeper.
In soccer?
Yeah.
They literally face like two shots a game.
See, that's my thing, but it's more like six or seven, but yeah. But that's my thing. It's either that or a hockey goaltender. But I think
I'd say hockey goaltender is significantly
harder
than
soccer. But I think
being
a hockey goaltender might be easier because the net is like so much smaller.
But you face way more shots, though.
Like, no, and you get hit with a puck.
I would say
Ben Bishop is 6'2". and he can still, like, even if he lets in two goals, his team could still win. Whereas in soccer, you let in two goals, your team's done for. You've lost.
Not necessarily.
And in a shootout, a lot of the times in the National Hockey League, the goalie wins. In soccer, it's no, not even close. Like, the player wins.
Yeah, I feel like soccer's really set up their goalies for failure. But anyways, I just wouldn't say soccer because, like...
Well, I don't know about that statement, really. Like, I think the penalty is fine.
No, I'm just saying in general, like, I feel like soccer goalies, like, are just set up for failure, dude. Their net's, like, literally five times as high, and it's so much easier to use your whole body to fake one way and just kick the ball the opposite way. Like, it's a lot easier than any other sport.
I think they're kicking the ball from too close. But I don't think it's a bad thing that it's just the player kicking the ball at the goalie. Like, I think they should back it up to the box line.
I still think that wouldn't make any difference.
I think it would, because it would just double how far the ball is. You have to kick it harder. You have to be more precise. And I think it would actually just even it out a little bit, make it more 50-50. Because right now, like, 9 times out of 10, the ball goes in.
Yeah.
And when the ball doesn't go in, it's a miracle. Like, it's like...
I don't know. I feel like hockey goaltender would be harder just because, yeah, you're facing more shots. The rink is smaller and the shots are faster.
You get hit with a puck. That sucks.
People, like, the mask you're wearing is very blurs your vision. Plus, you have massive dudes standing in front of you trying to block your vision again. So I just feel like it'd be tougher for a hockey goalie than. But I mean, soccer is still tough. I feel like they don't. Like, you're just sitting in your net.
I will say that one of your points there, like, the mask is not actually that bad. It's actually quite
good. I don't know. It looks good. Pretty freaking horrendous to me.
I'd rather wear a goaltender mask and play hockey than wear a cage. Oh, I can't stay at the cage. I cannot stay in the cage. I can't see anything. And it's hard for me just because of my ADHD. Like, I don't focus on...
But wouldn't that be more for a goalie? Because, like, the cage is smaller and...
No. So the cage... Like, I'll show you a picture here. I'll show you a picture of a goaltender, a goalie mask close up. Like, their eyes are wide open. It's like sunglasses. It's pretty intense. See, like, look. See, they've got this section in their eyes. In the National Hockey League. In the OHL, yes, it's crappy. It's like this. That sucks, okay? That's so hard to see this. But, like, look at how wide open it is. Like, I'd rather have that cage any day than a cage that you wear in minor hockey. Like, that's amazing.
Right, do we want to rank them? Do we want to rank all everything we said from one to from hardest to least?
Yeah, I'll say hockey goalie. I'll say hockey.
Is the hardest?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say hockey goalie is the hardest.
I'll say QB, hockey goalie, then pitcher.
I'll say hockey goalie, pitcher, then QB.
That's third?
Yeah.
That's wild. All right, I'm going quarterback, pitcher, and then hockey goalie.
Actually, I won't, because they still both have the same amount of break.
Yeah, QB's hard, man. QB's hard.
No, I think QB's third, just because...
A lot of pressure on you.
Yeah, yes, similar to but you get more chances to throw the ball, and your success rate is higher. So it's like...
But, like, if you're like a hockey goalie, for example, you don't got to remember anything. Like, it's not... Like, football, people seem to forget, is not just a physical thing. It's okay, like a mind game as well.
Let's re-rank this. Are those our rankings for hardest to play, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now let's rank them for hardest to win at. What do you think is the hardest to win at?
Really rude, I would just say a boxer again, but I'm not going to do that.
It's not a position.
Let's say the hardest position in sports to win at. You think it's hockey goalie first? To be consistent, like this man right here, Andrei Vasilevskiy?
To win at? No, only because a hockey goalie is really dependent on their team. Because, like, if you have a good defense, you're not going to face too many shots, or you're not going to face that many high-danger chances.
But that could be said for a pitcher and a quarterback, too. If your batting batting order hits 9 bombs, your job is easy. If your QB, if your O-line is the best in the league, your QB has no problem.
I'd say QB, because you only get to control half the game.
Hardest to win at? Really?
Dude, you only control half the game.
Yeah, it's true.
It's the same with baseball.
Look at Pat Mahomes.
It's the same with baseball. You don't even control half the game. You control
more than half the game because you're
quarters
literally...
A quarter and a half of it because...
No,
because
you're literally control... You're
no,
literally
because you do 6
where
innings.
The ball ends up.
If you're a starting pitcher, you do 6 innings of half a game.
Well, no. That'd be 66% of a game because there's 9 innings.
No.
Hello?
It wouldn't. It would be 33.
He pitches 6 innings and leaves 3 for someone else, correct? That's 66, dude.
From his team.
Two-thirds.
He can't control batting, though.
It's two-thirds.
He but you have to cut the thing in half. There's one where your team's batting and one where your team is pitching.
The batting's up to the other pitcher.
That's what it is in football.
So the batting is up to the other pitcher. It's not up to actually your team hitting. It's up to what the other pitcher does. So the pitcher does control 33% of the game. Because the batting is like, I think it's the science was like you have 0.2 of a millisecond to hit the ball. So it depends what your pitcher's throwing. Whereas in football, you could literally have a perfect game on offense. And your defense could literally never get a stop, though.
It's true.
Look at Pat Mahomes. He's like arguably the best QB in football. Got screwed because his defense wasn't good.
And Josh Allen almost won his team the game against the Chiefs, and then his defense sold in the game. So it's like it's hard to win if your defense isn't going to get stops, or let's say your receivers drop balls, your O-line's not good. It's like it's hard to win at quarterback. I know people are going to use a Tom Brady argument, but he's like one in a million. So
and also Tom Brady like pulled so many free agents too.
Yeah, that's
wherever
true.
Wherever he was.
But it's like, it's hard to win. It's also as a starting pitcher in general, let's say you're in a playoff series in baseball, your one starting pitcher isn't going to start every game. You're going to have a rotation as they do in baseball. So it's like,
you know what's really underrated? I guess this isn't a position, but a hockey coach is pretty tough too.
I mean, yeah, I think any coach is tough. Coach in general is just hard.
No, see, that's what I was going to say, except for the NBA and the NFL. And the NFL is pretty easy too. The play
to
calling,
coach NFL.
Well, let me
that's
be
like
clear.
The hardest.
Let me be clear. Hold up! Stop attacking me, God.
I'm going
damn
to attack you.
If you like play calling, that's the hardest part for sure. But writing up those plays, I don't think so.
No, that's just ignorant to say, dude. Because you've never
no
done
because
it.
Well
because you don't know.
Well, neither do you.
I mean I
you don't know how hard it is to write up a
obviously
hockey play.
Not to an extent obviously, but it's like.
I think it's really hard to do in hockey because there are teams out there with breakouts that we've never seen before, ever. Like,
I mean, I think it's easier to write up a hockey game plan strategy than it is for a football game plan strategy.
Well, it's just because there's less players, but it's not easier to make it work. I think it's the same difficulty to make it work.
I don't know. But I saw some crazy stuff yesterday on Twitter. I forgot to send it to you, Greg, but someone said Matthew Stafford was in the right place, right time. Not an all-time quarterback.
Wait, what's the argument? I'm confused.
So he said that this Super Bowl for Matthew Stafford wasn't his. Like he didn't win the Super Bowl for them, and that he was just in the right place, right time.
I mean, if they still had, I could just make this argument. If they still had Jared Goff, who they have had the last 5 years before Stafford. They might not make the playoffs or get to the Super Bowl without Matthew Stafford. So if they had Jared Goff, they won't win the Super Bowl.
I saw it
they
and I was mind blown, bro.
Yeah,
I was
no.
like, there's no way.
And I think that's just wrong because of the season Stafford had.
All he said.
No, it's not even the fact that he played well or not in the playoffs. It's just what he did in the season.
Stafford was supposed to change Detroit. But from what I understood, was Detroit's front office was absolutely horrendous.
It was terrible. They never built him a good team.
Horrendous. He had Megatron, and that was it.
He had one of the best receivers of all time, but that didn't matter because it's only one person. I mean, it's hard to win when it's
only
you and him.
And we saw that right away when we saw, Jamar Chase not get a touchdown yesterday. So it's like,
how do you do? Yeah. That used to be my favorite thing in Madden.
All right. Well, we're out of time today. Be sure to catch the press box on Thursdays at 1 o'clock.
And Saturdays at 11.
Look at you go. My.
I'm ready.
It's been like this for like the last few months.
Yeah, yeah.
Since we started.
Yeah, we're just about hitting 5 months of the show, and we want to thank everybody for listening.
And also, we actually just came up with a great idea earlier today. We're going to try to do some live shows with some sporting events on in the background. So it'll just be the boys, chilling in the studio, watching a sport here. So stay tuned for those. We'll definitely hype those up when they come. Catch us on the Raiders game as well.
Yeah, there's a Raiders game
tomorrow. It would happen
this Friday. Yeah. We're making a trip to Dan Mellon's area, Kempville. So stay tuned, folks. You're listening to the Press Box on CKDG 107.9. Until next week, I'm Tyler Sear with
Joshua McGrath Sege.
And
I'm Greg.
All right, cool.